Lord, teach us what we are to know, show us what we are to do, to be your disciples. Amen. When you're out driving, did you ever notice what people hang from their rearview mirrors? When I learned to drive, it was usually a big, giant pair of fuzzy dice. But there's some other popular choices. You might see someone with a rosary hanging from the rearview mirror, one of those little green Christmas tree deodorizers. But as a mark of our time, face masks are now hanging there. We have masks in the glove compartment on hooks by the front door. We could whip them out of our pockets. Some of us keep them in our prayer books. Sign of the times, and the times are tough. We're social distancing, but still fearful about going shopping when there's lots and lots of people around. Maybe still fearful to go into a restaurant or a pub. And here we are in church, but so grateful to be able to gather together finally in person, but still unable to take from the common cup or to share the peace with a touch of the hand or to have coffee without time and distance limits. So we gather to worship and to pray and to sing and to be in the company of our fellow disciples, to eat the bread of Jesus and to hear the Holy Scripture. And the Holy Scripture tells us today that no matter what, we are blessed. We are blessed. That is what is told to us in the letter to the Ephesians. With all that's going on, with all that we struggle with everything that's happening individually, corporately, in the world, in our houses, we are blessed. Now, in that really short introductory passage to the letter to the Ephesians, there's more than 20 blessings listed there, but there's some really strong points, just some really big points to remember. God, first of all, God chose us from the foundation of the world. So before we were born, God chose us. God adopted us as children. Another blessing, we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Another blessing, we're forgiven. We're forgiven our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. And in Christ, we've also been given an inheritance. And in addition to that inheritance, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. All these blessings listed by the person who wrote the book of Ephesians. Now, listing them like this is some, maybe it smacks a little too much of that old song, count your blessings one by one. But maybe we're not supposed to count our blessings. It's kind of like counting grains of sand or hairs on your head. But counting is what we do, right? We humans keep track of stuff. We count our own blessings. We count other people's blessings just to make sure we got ours. We keep track of success and failure, of insult and compliment, good things and bad things. It's like we're trying to make a profit and loss statement out of this experience that we call life. So it's natural that we try to itemize our blessings, and we get that feeling from the person who's writing this list of blessings we've gotten from God. Sounds like he's just getting started, though. There's six whole chapters in this book. And he feels blessed in so many countless ways that he has to just write them all down. But these days, for us, it's a struggle to feel blessed. 2020 and 2021 haven't been the best years. They haven't been easy, certainly. We have the triple header of politics, racism, and pandemic that have kept us all, this whole country, on edge for a long time, not to mention whatever individual challenges we face. It's like we're the Israelites in the desert. You know how in the beginning of the 40 years, they were kind of thanking God every single day, every single morning. Look, God gave us food from heaven. God gives us water. He rescued us. And it sort of got old, those blessings. They got tired of them, and soon they evolved into a culture that was simply complaining. Now, I don't think we've gone that far, but even we in the church have trouble sometimes feeling blessed. Maybe we still talk about blessings and we try to keep track so that we remember our gratitude, but even then, maybe the thrill is gone, and we wonder what happened. But first, we could look at the word blessing. The word blessing, you know, could be a noun or a verb. A noun is, you know, she is such a blessing. Or he said the blessing before dinner. We've received so many blessings. It can also convey action as a verb. The pastor blessed the couple and sent them on their way. Bless your heart. And God who has blessed us in Christ. The point is that blessing is something we can give, and it's something we can receive. If you look at the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, you'll find that most of the time, the blessing was a thing, was something material, or it was more children, good crops, good health. So when Job was finished with all of his trials and God restored him, he restored him tenfold, gave him 6,000 camels, 1,000 head of oxen, children, grandchildren. That's what a blessing was in the story of Job. And there's the famous Aaronic blessing that is a beautiful blessing that we all know. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then if you look in the New Testament, the Christian scriptures, the blessings generally refer to spiritual benefits. So the text we had today is a perfect example. Other examples are famously Jesus' Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are the poor, not the rich. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek, not the strong and the mighty. Turning everything upside down, but identifying how we are blessed. And in the letter to the Ephesians today, the blessings galore. We've been chosen by God before we were born. We are adopted by God as children. We are given an inheritance. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. So we might say that the point of this passage in the letter is to tell us what God has done for us in Christ. God has a purpose for all of us, which once we're signed off on it, baptized, accomplished in Christ. And God is already preparing our eternal future. So if I repeat the prayer I say at the beginning of a homily, teach us what we are to know, show us what we are to do to be your disciples. This is what we've learned from Scripture about blessing. And now it's time to talk about what to do about it. My favorite sermon question is, so what? And one way to get that focus is to look at the last two verses. When we believe in Christ, we're marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. And that's defined as a pledge of the inheritance. Now, the paraphrase known as the Message of the Scripture says, this pledge is the first installment of what's coming, a reminder that we will receive all that God has promised. And it turns out that the first installment is much better translation of the Greek word, which is translated as pledge in our reading today. Think about it like earnest money. So if you've ever had experience buying property, that's what the pledge is. That's what is earnest. Earnest money, it's a guarantee. It's a partial payment, but it obligates us on both sides to complete that deal. And the experience of faith we have now, that's the earnest money, the first installment of what's coming, a reminder that we will get everything that God has planned for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've really never, until now, thought about my life as a first installment. And in effect, it's saying that the highest experience that we can experience of peace and joy today is just a tiny little bit of what it can be and what it will be. It's like you go to the ice cream store, right, and you want to try a flavor you never tried before. They give you this little tiny spoon, and you get to have a taste of it. Well, then, if that's the first installment, the earnest money, when we're sitting with God in God's kingdom, there'll be a big old bowl with like 10 scoops of ice cream and a giant spoon, and somebody already paid for it. Now, I wish I could really hold this inside me all the time, this knowledge of God's blessing. And I have to admit, it's really a challenge. It's a challenge for me. Times beside, it's our history, whatever we've been through that prevents us from actually absorbing this. But a blessing came to me this week, and it came in the form of a meditation, a daily meditation I received from a Catholic priest called Ron Rollheiser. He's out of San Antonio, Texas, has some really wonderful things to say about how he practices trying to absorb how God is with him. This is what he said. Some years ago, I had a dream that I was asked to go to an airport and pick up Jesus, who was arriving on a flight. I was understandably nervous and frightened. A bevy of apprehensions beset me. How would I recognize him? What would he look like? How would he react to me? What would I say to him? Would I like what I saw? More frightening than that, would he like what he saw when he looked at me? But this was a good dream and taught me as much about God as I'd learned in all my years of studying theology. All my fears were alleviated in a second. What happened was the opposite of all my expectations. Suddenly, walking down the corridor toward me was Jesus, smiling, beaming with delight, coming straight for me, rushing, eager to meet me. Everything about him was stunningly and wonderfully disarming. There was no awkward moment. Everything about him erased that. His eyes, his face, and his body embraced me without reserve and without judgment. I knew he saw straight through me, knew all my faults and weaknesses, my lack of substance, and none of it mattered. We live with too much fear of God. Partly it's bad theology, but mostly we fear because we've never experienced the kind of love that's manifest in God, and we take it for granted that anyone who sees us as we really are, in our unloveliness, weakness, sin, will in the end be as disappointed in us as we are in ourselves. At the end of the day, we expect that God is disappointed with us and will greet us with a frown. The tragedy and sadness here is that because we think God is disappointed in us, especially in those times when we're disappointed with ourselves, we try to avoid meeting the one person, the one love, the one energy, God, that understands us, accepts us, delights in us, and is eager to smile at us. This, my friends, is a reflection and a mindset that enables us to see how we are blessed. Christ has done all that is needed. Christ has done all that is needed. Christ has done all that is needed. Amen.